They've invented apps that help students find study partners, a new beverage, and a wristband that prevents nausea. We take a look at the highs and lows of entrepreneurship. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the National Foundation for Transplants. Right now, hundreds of Tampa residents need an organ transplant they can't afford. You can join National Foundation for Transplants Operation Second Chance at transplants.org to learn how to help give someone a second chance at life.
From WUSF Public Media, I'm Robin Sussingham. This year, WUSF's University Beat has been profiling entrepreneurs with ties to the University of South Florida. That includes faculty, students, and alumni who have started their own businesses, ranging from watermelon-flavored water and anti-nausea wristbands to apps and movie production companies. Producer Mark Schreiner has been looking into these entrepreneurs' struggles and successes, as well as how the lessons they've learned at USF have helped them take their ideas to the marketplace. Coming up, we'll have highlights from some of those interviews. But first, Mark sat down with Paul Sandberg, USF Senior Vice President for Research, Innovation, and Knowledge Enterprise, to talk about how the university helps aspiring business people.
We are an entrepreneurial university. And what does that mean? It means that we're always looking for different ways to do things, for ways in which to help our local economy, our national economy, to bring new insights into people, to help the job market, to really create individuals that graduate from here, that teach here, that have that spirit. It's a spirit of kind of taking things to the next level, dealing with societal issues, and having a great time doing it.
One thing that USF offers both faculty and students are incubators, the Student Innovation Incubator, the Tampa Bay Technology Incubator. How do those incubators work and what do they encourage?
The idea really is that we don't teach people here very formally, especially a faculty member that comes in with a PhD, about how to do business. And so we have a program that if they want to start companies and develop and be more entrepreneurial, the incubator really provides educational programs, provides space, provides guidance, provides a lot of the things necessary to get successful. And for the students, this has been a wonderful program because the students, especially nowadays, are inherently kind of geared towards wanting to work for themselves in many ways or to take their ideas and go commercial with them. So we have a student incubator that we started a number of years ago to take student companies, that is, they have to be real companies that come in and help develop those so that they help the community, they help create jobs, and that they have something to go to when they graduate.
One other thing that both incubators offer the member companies is that ability to network with each other, but more importantly, to network with other companies and business leaders in the Tampa Bay area.
Well, you know, network is number one. People find relations. People find good ways to do things. People find ways to do things that don't cost much money to help them move forward through networks. And so that was one of the reasons we worked hard in putting our student incubator within the regular incubator, the Tampa Bay Technology Incubator, so that when they're walking down the halls, they're interacting with other companies, from faculty, from others in the community. They're involved in the same seminars. They're involved in a lot of the same things so that they can make those connections. It's not about whether you're a student or not. It's about can you take your product to market and can you get the best help to do that?
Switching gears over to the faculty here at USF, how does your office encourage them to develop businesses, develop companies?
So we are very involved in taking faculty and training them if we have to. If they have an interest, then we'll teach them about patenting, we'll teach them about promoting their products. We are involved with the federal I-Corps program, which comes out of the National Sciences Foundation, which is very important for us. We're a site here. We get a grant every year to help our faculty and students that have companies to see whether those companies could be viable. Not all companies are going to make it, as we know, but they get the experience. And many times they become a serial entrepreneur, and it's that second or third company, a different product that might be important to them. And so that's what's created this kind of atmosphere around USF that we're a top patenting university. We're also a top startup university because we have this culture here.
Let's talk the magic word, licensing. What does the university do? What kind of agreements do they reach with companies, maybe through the incubator, maybe in other way, other companies that they help throughout the year? And what does that mean financially to the university?
You know, we're looking for diversification of our research finances, clearly. With federal dollars being harder to get, state dollars, those universities are looking at opportunities to work with their community. And so that's become much greater, that approach to work with companies within the community. We are so lucky here in Tampa because we're the only research university in a 3 to 4 million population base. It's a wonderful thing. Can you imagine how many Northeastern universities would love to have that opportunity? When we think about licensing, clearly I already talked about this idea that we license the technology back to faculty and students that want to do their companies, and so that's really incubation. And we try to license our technologies to those that are real established large companies, small companies. We try to cater to companies that are going to stay within the Florida High Tech Corridor. You know, that is along Interstate 4. Licensing income is important, but it's honestly what's really important is all the intangibles that it gives us. Because you may give a license to a company and say, you know what, we'll take some royalty on the backside, but we really want you to invest in a research program with this professor on the front side. So we get a lot of research dollars that are a part of the licensing agreements. We get a lot of new faculty hires because we have this opportunity for them to do entrepreneurship. So all these new world-class scholars that we're getting from money from the state, we look for entrepreneurial faculty, so these great new faculty that we're getting, and they actually, every time they come down here, they want to talk to our office because they want to know what opportunities they have for entrepreneurship here, not just do their research and get federal grants, but what other opportunities they have. Many universities get some good hits, and we have a wide portfolio that we think we're going to have some great hits on. And I think that's one of the unique things about universities versus companies, per se. If you're in a company and you're an inventor, you're inventing along the company product. Might be little tweaks here and there. You're in a university. Come take a look at our products. It can be anywhere from marine science to engineering to health to new drugs for cancer to roller coasters. I mean, you name it. We could have all sorts of different kinds of products. And so it gives us that opportunity to be a real staging for faculty and students that have creativity in mind. They're inventing because of their creativity, what interests them. They're not inventing because of what the company does.
As Senior Vice President for Research, Innovation, and Knowledge Enterprise at USF, would you rather have one Gatorade-type product that brings money in year after year for the University of Florida, or would you rather have 10 smaller companies? Which one and why?
When you have one hot product that brings in a lot of money, it provides other resources that we can then do a lot of other things. So it's an unfair question in some sense because I think it allows us to do more. However, personally, what I really like to see is inventive students and faculty. And so to see faculty and students take an idea, a creative idea that they've developed, a new discovery, a new way to do something, and to carry it forward and to create a company or license it to somebody that's now taking it to the market, and to say to people, look, at when you're using that product, that's a USF product. That's exciting. And to have a lot of those things out there that this was created at USF, that's exciting.
Dr. Paul Sandberg, Senior Vice President for Research, Innovation, and Knowledge Enterprise at the University of South Florida. Thank you again for joining us on Florida Matters.
You're welcome, Mark.
The first entrepreneur University Beat profiled as part of this new series was a charter member of the USF Student Innovation Incubator. Des Williams graduated from USF in 2014 with a master's in entrepreneurship, but even before that, he was working on his company, Aquamelon. He described to University Beat's Mark Schreiner what Aquamelon water is.
We literally peel watermelons and we squeeze them into a bottle. So this is the closest thing that you're going to get to a fresh slice of watermelon in a bottle.
And what other benefits does it have in addition to the taste of watermelon?
Watermelon's pretty hydrating. Watermelons are 93% water by weight. Watermelons are also packed with antioxidants, and they're packed with amino acids, which many athletes use for muscle recovery.
In addition to just the straight-on watermelon juice, there's a couple of different flavors as well?
Sure. We've formulated some blends with coconut water and spearmint and key lime.
You're a 2014 graduate of the USF Master's Program in Entrepreneurship. You came to USF really with the goal of building a business in mind?
I thought it'd be a good idea to come here, get some expertise, have the opportunity to share the idea with a number of other graduate students as well as faculty members to shape it in order to develop a viable business plan and ultimately to meet the network of folks that I'd need to know in order to get this company off of the ground.
And one of the things that you kind of even helped build here and Aquamelon helped build at the university was the Student Innovation Incubator.
Essentially, USF didn't have a Student Innovation Incubator. And in order for Aquamelon to have a catapult, we needed some resources, we needed some mentors, we needed some business leaders to help point us in the right direction. While I was going through the master's program, I needed to build the platform or the platform wouldn't be there for us to use.
Was there any one or two lessons that you really learned here that you've been managed to take forward?
One important lesson I learned is that when you have something really, really good, give it away for free in the beginning. I think that you set yourself up for success that way.
And you are finding success. You opened a new manufacturing plant in Dover in December of last year.
We would like to be the Tropicana of watermelon.
Watermelon, okay.
Right? Many people don't know that Florida is the largest watermelon grower and exporter in the United States of America. We think that Florida is the perfect place to brand and saturate the state with the product, and from there, we intend to export Florida watermelon juice to the rest of the U.S.
And what stores are you in? Are you into the Publix yet, the bigger stores?
No, we're actually not. So the plan for us is to actually establish a strong footprint of independence. What many small companies do is they aim for Publix immediately, naively, not understanding what the marketing costs are, and also not understanding the kind of risk you put your business at if you get the opportunity to sell that Publix and they become 90% of your business and you invest all of those resources in scaling up your overhead so you can service one single customer. And if what thing goes wrong and the product doesn't work out and Publix decides they don't want to sell it anymore, your business crumbles under the weight of the overhead that you brought on board. So it sounds sexy and it sounds like a good idea to a naive founder, but for one that's being led by some of those business leaders, right, that we established in the startup incubator, you learn a little bit better.
That was Des Williams, the founder and CEO of Aquamelon. I'm Robin Sessingham, and you're listening to Florida Matters. We're taking a short break, and we'll be right back. This is Florida Matters. I'm Robin Sessingham, and we're hearing from producer Mark Schreiner of University Beat. This year, he's been profiling entrepreneurs with ties to the University of South Florida. The next business has a simple concept, Tinder for study groups. It's the creation of a pair of USF sophomores, William Rondon and Chad Townsend. Rondon says he came up with Stubby, short for study buddy, because of his own experiences.
So I was always in the library until like 1 or 2 in the morning studying, and I was always alone. I didn't really have any of my friends to study with me. So I always wished there was like an app that could connect students with other students at any time. So over the summer, I just got to work on my business plan. I really did a lot of research, talked to a lot of people. And then once I felt like I knew what I wanted to do, I made like a rough prototype and I brought Chad in.
Yeah, Chad, if you can explain a little bit of how it works. I say Tinder because it has that swiping capability, swipe left for no, swipe yes for matches that Tinder has.
Yeah, exactly. But instead of how Tinder works, where it just shows you everyone just in your location, what Stubby does is it prioritizes pretty much the people that you would study best with based on your strengths and weaknesses, your major, your minor, your year in college, in addition to what courses you're taking. Stubby will prioritize who's the best person that you can match with, and you'll see them first.
My understanding is there's a point system involved here. What does that mean?
after someone's talked to someone or after they've met, you can rather like or dislike the person based on how your experience was with the person. How you study, how much work you're getting done. We plan to implement more criteria into feedback.
And as we get further into development, we're trying to put in like a reward system where you can get points based off your good ratings. And then for those good ratings, you can get rewards like apparel around campus or gift cards, stuff like that.
And William, when you present this idea to people with that kind of a neat little marketing phrase of, you know, Tinder for study groups, what is the reaction?
It's a different reaction for different age groups, definitely. When I first pitched it to my friends, I got a really good reaction. Everybody would say that they wish they would have had it during college. Sometimes when I pitch it to like investors or local CEOs and stuff like that, they're older, so they haven't really used Tinder. So they kind of think that like the whole idea of the Tinder is like a great idea that someone should really do it. And I'm like, no, Tinder exists, but you know, ours is a little different.
This just rolled out within the last month or two. It's finals coming up for the first time underneath this app. What kind of response have you gotten?
The first stage is going to be more about a closed scale launch. So we're just releasing it to friends, all the people who we met along the way, along with different students, different majors. Right now, it's more about getting like 200 or less downloads and seeing what people like so we can add different features or change different features. And then in this upcoming fall is when we're looking to do a full-scale launch in UCF, USF, and UT.
You don't necessarily need to be a student at USF. You could be a student at University of Tampa who you match with.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of our app focuses on, because a lot of these satellite campuses lose a lot of the connectivity that a main campus offers. So we're hoping our app can really bridge that connection issue and really bring more students together.
What advice would you have for fellow student entrepreneurs, particularly those who don't have business experience like yourselves?
I would definitely say to not think about it and just get started on it. Reach out to as many people as you can, because one of the big things for us is that, like, not only did we see a future in the product, the school really reached out and showed that they believe in the product. So if you believe in it, there's definitely other people who will believe in it too, and that's what will help you out.
That was William Rondon and Chad Townsend, a pair of USF students who created the app Stubby. Jacqueline Darna is one of the more successful entrepreneurs profiled by University Beat. Her invention, the Nomo Nausea wristband, is available in more than 10,000 stores across the country. Mark talked to Darna about how the bands work.
So the Nomo Nausea band is the first 3-in-1 combination of essential oil-infused acupressure, all on your wrist. The aromatherapy helps to get fastest way to the brain through the nose. Secondarily, the essential oil helps to permeate through to your skin to make you forget that you're sick. And acupressure is actually a study in medicine for thousands of years that increases the amount of hormones that you create. So all these anti-nausea hormones coat your brain, telling it, do not get sick, even before you get on a plane, a train, or a boat.
And I understand you came up with this out of probably one of the best reasons for any sort of invention, your own personal need.
So my beautiful daughter was born via C-section, and I threw up for 3 days straight. Unfortunately, no medications, nothing worked. They wanted to put me into a medically induced coma. So I remembered one slide in anesthesia school, and we talked about acupressure on the P6 point of the wrist. Upon doing so, my stepmom walked in with a peppermint plant. She said, I know you're desperate. I heard this on Google. Hey, it might work. So I took the leaves, smelled them, and combined them with the acupressure, and it really worked. Only problem is I never had the leaves when I needed them. And I taped the leaves to the actual acupressure point, taped them together, and said, this would be a great wristband, as long as I could make it waterproof and stylish.
The product is available 12 countries already worldwide, and how many stores in America?
A little over 10,000 stores in the U.S. We're also used in hospitals in 12 countries. We're in about 27 hospital systems in the U.S., and they use it primarily for anesthesia and surgery, and then to give a better quality of life for cancer patients.
One of the other things is that it treats pets. How does that work?
My son, at the age of 5, was sitting in the boardroom, and I am with all the rest of my team. I say, anybody have something that we need to address? So he raises his hand really, really high, and he says, Mommy, you have a band for me and Mia when we get carsick. But what about Batchy, our dog Bachelor? He pukes on my shoes every time we go on a family road trip. And I said, baby, that's such a smart idea. So Nomo Nausea Dog is the same essential oil-infused acupressure. The good news is they don't have to raise their paw in order to smell it, because they have a better sense of smell. And their acupressure point is actually still considered the P6 point. It's just a different location.
You received 3 degrees at USF, including biomedical sciences and biomedical physics. Beyond the science, what did you learn that you think has helped you as a business person?
to be quite honest with you, I actually have another degree in religious studies. And that gave me a lot of valuable tools that I never knew that I actually needed, such as public speaking. But the most important thing that I learned from USF is the ability to network. It just was basically that osmosis, being here in such a vibrant area, especially for the health sciences.
What do you see in the future?
What's next is our newest line. So right now we have Nomo Nausea, Nomo Migraine that stops headaches and migraines. And we have our pet product, Nomo Nausea Dog. And I just won the PepsiCo International Business Competition. So officially with their prize money, I was able to convince my board to create Nomo Sleepless Nights, a sleep product that helps to put people off to sleep faster and keep them asleep longer.
That's Jacqueline Darna, inventor and CEO of Nomo Bands. Current USF students Taylor Langford and Ahmed Hamed have created a website that provides something a lot of potential Florida homeowners need, a report that shows if their home might flood in a hurricane. The website is nofloodflorida.com, and Langford explains how the site works.
No Flood Florida is an online resource where we are offering a service that is very comparable to something sort of similar to a Carfax report. So a Carfax report is a buyer's way to learn the history and potential risk of a future car purchase. And with that report, the buyer is really getting some sense of peace of mind.
Ahmed, I also understand that you're focusing in on a very specific group of customers.
We're looking at Pasco County, Hillsborough County, Sarasota, Pinellas, mainly because of our familiarity with those regions. Pasco County, for example, is 40% in the special flood hazard area. The service we provide aims to give realtors and homebuyers the ability to quickly and easily learn the flood risk of the house they're interested in and the surrounding area. You just go to nofloodflorida.com, you navigate to the request page, and you submit the request. Once we receive the request, we do the research of the property you're interested in, develop a memo that provides a lot of useful information. You have the overall flood risk, the effective FEMA flood zone, and also we estimate the flood insurance premium, which is based on the National Flood Insurance Program. All of this information is consolidated into a single report. We call this the flood analysis memo.
Now, Taylor, you have a bachelor's degree in agricultural and biological engineering from University of Florida. And Ahmed, you have your bachelor's and master's in civil engineering from UCF. At what point do the two of you get together and go, hey, this idea of a floodplain analysis website is a good idea and it's a viable business?
It was really just, you know, trying to define something and then just continuous improvement. I mean, I think that's one thing that we could probably recommend for people, you know, interested in starting a business is to really just set those deadlines, set specific short-term goals and just to keep going.
How much are we talking about in terms of a cost for an analysis like this?
Well, we're currently just producing them on like a free basis right now. We're really just trying to refine like our own process. And it's kind of like a research and development phase where we're taking it on ourselves internally to kind of improve our workflow efficiency.
Ahmed, what kind of advice would you have for aspiring entrepreneurs?
I would also say find a partner that's just as passionate as you are, because I found that everyone has certain strengths and weaknesses, and having a partner that's working with the same diligence and working with the same enthusiasm as you, it increases the number of skills both of you have. Also, it'll increase the chances that you will actually be able to accomplish your goals.
You're both relatively new to USF. What have you found here that has helped you along the path?
Aside from curriculum, I think USF just offers a variety of opportunities for students, normal things like networking. And really, one thing that we did attend was a guest speaker event through the College of Business. And it was actually Steve Wozniak came and spoke to a ton of people in the Sun Dome. It was very inspirational just to hear him sort of describe the origins of Apple and how, you know, he was working in the garage, you know, creating all this technology to bring to the world. And it really did kind of feel like it was relatable to us, you know, just starting out and really just having that passion where you're working very hard on something, but it doesn't feel like it because you are so invested.
That was USF students Taylor Langford and Ahmed Hamed, creators of the website nofloodflorida.com. Our last entrepreneur is a different kind of businessman. Ryan Justice graduated from USF in 2011 and is following his dream of becoming a filmmaker. Followers, a movie that Justice directed, co-wrote, and co-produced, came out in theaters earlier this year and is now out on all digital platforms. The film is a social media thriller. Justice explained to Mark about what that means.
What the film is about is a social media fitness couple that post everything. They post everything that they do. So they go on a camping trip for a two-year anniversary. And what they don't realize is that there's two other guys that are doing a documentary on how easy it is to track somebody down off social media and kill them.
As a producer through your company, Justified Films, you were telling me that it was self-funded. How does the whole business side of funding a film go about? How do you do that?
Me and my two other co-producers do nothing but video production. A lot of corporate stuff, a lot of weddings. We do all that so we don't have to go back to the 9-to-5. So what we did was self-fund the entire film, used all our resources. We were pretty much our only crew on the film and knew what budget we wanted to stay in to keep it marketable and being able to sell it and make a profit.
Selling it came next, and that was through, you said, contacts that you had made on the film festival scene?
When I was just 21, went to a film festival in St. Pete, actually. I met an awesome sales agent, Marty Poole, 8 years ago, and I was like, okay, if I ever make the first feature film, I'm going to talk to him about selling it. I went right to him back in October, about 3-4 months after we were done completing the film. You know, he trusted me, took the film in, took it to Santa Monica, and within 3 days sold the rights to U.S., China, Thailand, and the United Kingdom.
What's that like when you get that phone call from him saying it's sold?
It was pretty awesome. The better thing was it sold and we made a profit. That was the best part.
Now, USF doesn't have a film program. How challenging is that?
What I did was I had to network. Networking is key in just about anything you do. The more people you know with the like mind as you are, the easier it is.
Now, 8 years ago, you won Best Picture at the USF stop of the Campus Movie Fest, which gives students a week to shoot and edit a 5-minute film. You're now back at USF to talk to this year's contestants. What advice do you have for a student who's now sitting where you once were?
Filmmakers, parents of filmmakers, there is a career path in film and video. There is life after making the short films in college. If you stay and you pursue and you stay focused on what you really want to accomplish, you can do it. It's easier than ever. It makes it more competitive than ever.
Did you see yourself 9 years ago being at this point now?
We came off, you know, such a high of winning the Campus Movie Fest thing. Reality hits you after graduating. I went and got the 9-to-5 video job for a couple years. We kind of broke up. And then over the last 4 years, we all kind of came back together and we're like, listen, let's do this. Let's do this for real. And let's do it now. Because these young guys that are doing this thing, they're coming up on us. So let's do it now. Let's make the movies. I really thought it was going to happen quicker, but I'm just happy that it happened at all.
Young guys, and what are you, 29, 30?
I just turned 30 in September. It's competitive out there. It's wild. I'm learning how to do some editing from 12-year-olds on YouTube, so.
That was Ryan Justice, a USF graduate and one of the creators of the movie Followers, which is out on all digital platforms. You can find out more about Justice and all the entrepreneurs on our webpage, wusfnews.org. That's it for today's show. Thanks for joining us, and we love to hear from you. You can always email us at floridamatters@wusf.org. Also, we'll have more of the conversation on our podcast, Florida Matters More. Search for it wherever you get your podcasts. Florida Matters is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Robin Sussingham. Thanks for listening.